He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday, April 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And the big bugaboo today, once again, it's rising oil prices. They are up right now. Let's see, 4.7%. Which puts it at 104.60. Not good. I filled my tank yesterday, the SUV, and yeah, a little bit of sticker shock. And for that reason, the Dow is down 191 right now. No big deal. I mean, it was recently hitting new all-time highs. It's down 39 basis points. The NASDAQ is down 44 points. A huge move in Seagate today, STX. One of our big holdings here at Gunderson Capital. We're actually positive for the day, last time I looked. The NASDAQ is down 38 right now. That's just 15 basis points, 24,626. The S&P is down 10 to 7,129, very close to a new all-time high, which it hit just a few days ago. Meanwhile, it's oil, like I said, that is the big bugaboo today as that Strait of Hormuz. There seems to be no progress there whatsoever. The market doesn't like that. Oil is up 4.7%. Oil's at 104.60. Gold continues to sell off. The gold trade was over about 6 weeks ago, and it's not coming back right now. Gold's at 45.48. The 10-year is at 4.39%. And that's how we begin this Wednesday. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and our certified financial planner. You've been busy lately, Barry. Yeah. Did you keep busy yesterday? Because, you know, the initial unemployment claims come in on Thursday. You don't want to be on that list.
Yeah, didn't make it on that list. Okay. I mean, who knows? Never know next week. Been busy. Of course, today, I think I saw a number, $14 trillion worth of company earnings. You know, the companies, the market cap for today of all the people reporting. Of course, we've got Apple. Not Apple, but we got,
Google.
We got Alphabet, Apple, Google, and who's the other one today? Oh, Meta. We got.
Yeah. Okay, so the Mag 7.
Yeah.
We had a snotty day yesterday. It was mostly that OpenAI news that we were talking about. I don't see OpenAI slowing down the spending and the capital expenditure. They've got to beat Anthropic. They've got to beat Grok. Yeah. They've got to beat ChatGPT, and they're going to spend. And one of those places they're spending is Seagate Technology, STX, which last time I looked was up over 18% today. We've had some big winners here recently. What was it last week? We had GE Vernova.
Yeah, that was a big earnings call.
Yesterday, SEI, did a really good report. And then today, just one of the biggest winners in the market, and it's carrying us to a positive results in a down market. Always like when that happens. The NASDAQ was down 90 basis points. We were down more than the NASDAQ yesterday, however, because the AI stocks sold off. And oil was up 3.5% yesterday to 99.62. And now, instead of 99 bottles of oil on the wall, we've got 105 bottles of oil on the wall as oil goes through 104 to 105, as there seems to be a real stalemate right now in the Strait of Hormuz. As I mentioned, that gold trade pretty much over. About 6 weeks ago, that came to a screeching halt. Interest rates remain elevated at 4.35%. And here is the big issue. President Donald Trump has reportedly told aides to prepare for an extended blockade of Iran's port. Well, you know, that's the whole idea of a blockade, is to strangle them. And it takes time before the shelves. I wonder if there's any toilet paper left on the shelves over there in Iran, or if there's any bottled water on the shelves with that blockade taking place. Iran has to import a lot of things and export. Most importantly, they've got to export. That's their That's their economy right there, is exporting oil. And that blockade is in place, putting the pressure on them. Trump posted overnight that Iran should get smart soon. We haven't seen him get smart since the 60s, ever since the Shah fell. They haven't done much that is smart. U.S. political pressure seems to be increasing. Trump's approval rating hit an all-time low in the Reuters IPSOS poll. Approval of the president's handling of the cost of living was at 22%. The market narrative has shifted from nacho to taco. Have you heard this now? Taco is Trump always chickens out.
Right, and what's nacho?
Nacho is not a chance that Hormuz opens. Nacho, not a chance Hormuz opens. So that's the rhetoric out there today that is impacting the market, that the Strait of Hormuz is going to be closed forever. Never open again.
I'm getting hungry.
We've got
Cinco de Mayo coming up next week.
Good.
We got taco and nacho.
Yeah.
I guess, right?
Taco. I like nacho tacos and taco nachos. Alphabet reports tonight, otherwise known as Google. I forever will call it Google. And I will forever call Meta Facebook. Meta will report tonight, or Facebook. Microsoft will report tonight, and Amazon will report after the bell tonight. So as far as this earnings season goes, this evening, after the market closes at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, will be the biggest day of earnings yet. And, we're looking at 13 to 15% growth in earnings over this same quarter last year. We're looking for record profit margins. That's all seems to kind of get lost in the Hormuz talk, but it is out there, and the earnings continue to come in very, very strong. Trump says that prepare for an extended blockade, and he decided to continue straining their economy by maintaining this blockade. And keeping it up, but the bullets aren't flying. The ceasefire remains in place. Trump on Monday told aides that Iran's offer to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and postpone nuclear talks proved that Tehran was not negotiating in good faith. I told you that wasn't going to fly. The nuclear talks are probably the number one issue with Tehran right now, and of course, because of that, you have the Strait of Hormuz close. Trump says Iran can't get their act together. They don't know how to sign a non-nuclear deal. They better get smart soon. And, of course, extending the blockade would likely keep gas prices. I paid about $3.99, I think, for unleaded here in South Carolina. And, of course, that's not helping Trump's approval ratings either. We're now in the eighth week of this conflict. In the meantime, unrelated probably to the Strait of Hormuz, but maybe it is, durable goods rebound more than expected. I've never given much weight to the durable goods report. They come in once
a
month, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of times it gets skewed by Boeing in terms of big airplane orders, which can be chunky. In this instance, I will say it's pretty interesting if you look at the part that involves AI equipment just going through the roof in terms of the spending there. So that's another.
Well, look at Seagate today, up 18%.
Right.
That's AI equipment. I talked to a guy Sunday that works for Boeing. We have five people now in our little branch there that work for Boeing. He said that their most popular plane right now, it's the Dash. They have several versions of the Dash. It's $350 million. Off the lot, and it's a 10-year wait. That's how big their backlog is at Boeing. I was absolutely stunned. My mouth dropped when he told me that. And that's all you got to do is drive by that Boeing plant here in South Carolina, which is right next to
our airport. It's going to be bigger than the airport at some point in terms of square footage.
They own all that land, I guess, for some reason. I think that was a deal that Nikki Haley made with them to attract them to South Carolina. And of course, you know, the plant in Seattle, is it Everett, is way bigger than this one out here. So a 10-year, better put in your order now. You know, sometimes these little HO locomotives, they take pre-orders. I don't like that. I don't give them my money till it's in the, and it takes 6 months. But imagine waiting 10 years. Think how much technology changes.
Yeah. I mean, what are you? And by the way, for Boeing, what's the price for delivery? Right. I mean, that's another thing to think about.
I don't know if the $350 million. Well, I'm happy to announce we have a venue, Barry, because you know I have on all these T-shirts printed up with our tour this year in 2026, and I was missing a venue. I couldn't order the shirts. We come in right after Bob Dylan does his little thing. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to Minnesota. Well, give me the look up the dates while I get.
Yeah, it's
going to
be. It should be 18th, 19th, and 20th. I'm going to confirm that
Of May.
Of May.
Yes.
Right. So it should be a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday.
Yes.
So actually, that's going to be the 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Yes.
Tuesday through Thursday. And Billy, I think what you're doing, they're going to do the workshop on that Tuesday, correct?
Yes, 7 p.m. at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. It looks gorgeous. Where's this been all my life? No more Mall of America. I heard it's really not the Mall of America anymore. It's the Mall of other countries. They've kind of taken it over and whatever. And I've heard that it's not as safe as it used to be, which is a shame because at one time it was a gem. It was the biggest mall.
It was the Mall of America.
It was the mall. And now it's just a shell of what it used to be, which is really a shame. But the Minneapolis Marriott looks very inviting. I want a room that looks over the river. That would be nice. I always get the one that overlooks the parking lot. And the air conditioning units. What the heck? What am I, chop liver? I mean, come on. I'm coming all the way from Charleston. And I'm bringing in 100 people plus to your hotel. And you give me the room over the air conditioning unit that's rattling all night. The Minneapolis Marriott Southwest. Now, if you want to come to the workshop, I know we have 70 or 80 signed up already, but I think she got a room that you can, for a little extra money, they'll open up the curtains.
Open it up, yeah.
Yeah, let more people in, you know, if my credit card isn't denied. And we also, the highlight, I like teaching the workshop. That's a big highlight. But meeting privately with people from Minnesota, I just love doing that. We meet with clients and we meet with people that are interested in talking to us about money management. We do that for 3 straight days, I think. Yeah. 2 for sure, Tuesday and Wednesday. And I mean, we don't even get an hour for lunch. I eat,
snacks.
Planter's nut mix to get me through the day while I'm looking at charts and talking to people and writing the newsletter and planning tomorrow's show and all this and that. But I do the show. I bring my radio equipment with me. It always sets off alarm bells, TSA.
TSA loves that.
This time I'm just going to take it out of the suitcase, put it in the tray. Here it is, guys. It's radio equipment. It's broadcasting equipment. I'm not going to hijack the airplane. Don't worry. Remember they used to hijack planes to Cuba? Who wants to go to Cuba? I mean, they should hijack planes from Cuba to America. Well, that's we've got that. And then if you want an appointment, we have 3 packages, Barry. Workshop only, appointment only, or the Grand Deluxe Premium Package. They're all the same price, by the way, is the workshop and a private meeting in a nice, beautiful conference room with Diet Cokes and coffee and mixed nuts, whatever the case may be. You better call Edie now because with the venue, she's going to really start filling that thing up quickly. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. And next on the docket, we're probably Dallas is kind of calling me right now. The Heart 8 Barbecue, it's been a few years since I've been there in the Pecan Lodge and all the other great barbecues in that area. They're kind of beckoning to me right now, Barry. We're on K-Sky there in Dallas.
Barbecue, huh?
That dang Heartache Barbecue, I mean, you're a mile away and you can smell the mesquite wood and see the smoke coming up. You think there's a little brush fire or something, but no, it's the Heartache Barbecue. They open that thing up, there's prime ribs, there's ribs, there's chickens, there's, oh my gosh, and then there's a big vat of pinto beans, Southwest pinto beans, and it's just amazing. I would go there, if nobody showed up to the workshop, I would go there. So that's kind of what we're thinking. Denver's also in the mix, and Atlanta's also in the mix, and Pittsburgh's also in the mix, and Cleveland's also in the mix, and Bloomfield Hills, and our favorite place of all to go these days is the Silicon Valley, and I want to get there sooner rather than later. So I've got my bags packed. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. You know, that's how it works. Ready to travel across the greatest country in the world. Okay, let's take a look at what else we have going on in the markets here today. It's all about the Strait of Hormuz. It's all about the continued blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. It's all about rising oil prices, but then you've got companies like Seagate that come in with blowout earnings, and you know that stock bucks the trend on a day when the market is down and is up because of the big E, earnings. Okay, that trade deficit. You know, the whole idea behind the tariffs, and of course they've been ruled illegal by the Supreme Court, at least the manner in which he used to justify them. The trade deficit is still $88 billion. That's still, I don't know that it's come down at all. I think that the imports still far outweigh the exports. Our exports were $211 billion, which was $5 billion more than February, but the imports are up around $300 billion. So we still have a massive trade deficit, and really that has not, I don't know that anybody else would have done any better. I mean, you know, the previous administration did nothing or made no attempt at narrowing the trade deficit. It just seems to be something. That and the budget deficit just seem to be something. And the national debt, nobody seems able to touch that. In the meantime, there's a bidding war for fuel, jet fuel. Barry, do you have any in your garage? Left over from Thanksgiving, did you fry your turkey? They do that in Russia. You know, they drink jet fuel. They are such hardcore drinkers in Russia. I read that they drink jet fuel, you know, in the plants where they built
the planes. It's got to be pure, huh? It's pure.
It's pure alcohol. I don't know. Maybe a little mixer makes it a little more palatable. You don't want to be smoking at the same time. I know that.
Closest thing I've got to jet fuel in my garage is that red can that you put into the spin trimmer or into the blower. You know that mix. Now I don't know. I don't think you want to take shots.
You know,
of that.
I've seen some alcohols that I see people take shots of, and it looks like they're drinking jet fuel to me. It's clear, and they just kind of like their eyes roll around in the back of their head when they drink it. It's just not something I want to do, but I, you know, God bless people who do it. Ken Griffin. You know who Ken Griffin is? Not Ken Griffey. Ken Griffin. He is one of the biggest, wealthiest hedge fund managers in the world.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Ken Griffin, hedge fund billionaire in Miami, the head of Citadel, warned that wealthy investors may not fully grasp the risk of the booming $3.5 trillion private credit market. You know, last time we checked, Barry, it was $1.8 trillion. Now he's claiming it's doubled to $3.5 trillion.
Yeah, and it's probably how you kind of incorporate what quote-unquote private credit is.
Yeah,
it's a pretty broad brush, you know, from one firm to the next. Yeah.
He said the biggest issue is the difficulty of accessing your money during a downturn.
Well, yeah.
Liquidity. The real issue here is right. that the liquidity mismatch between the real investor and the duration of the investments. He says the private credit sector has exploded over the past decade as major alternative investment firms, including Blackstone, Apollo, KKR, and Ares Management, expanded beyond institutional clients to target wealthy individuals. Well, I think they're targeting more than just wealthy individuals. I see it trickling right on down to the little guys out there, you know, with their Wall Street wirehouse accounts. He wondered if the aggressive push was accompanied by adequate disclosure. I doubt it very much. He says cracks are already emerging. Blue Owl Capital, which aggressively courted retail investors, has limited withdrawals from its two flagship funds. J.P. Morgan Chase boss Jamie Dimon reinforced those concerns, warning that when the private credit circle turns, it will be worse than people think. Okay, I've been warning too. It's good to see somebody, a billionaire, a lot wealthier than me, with a lot bigger megaphone than me, and I'm sure a much bigger office. And, you know, I mean, he's got to have some kind of palatial place there down in Miami. That's what he has to say. How about this? The odds of Musk winning the OpenAI lawsuit rise to 60%.
He was an underdog just a couple of days ago. So.
Well, I guess there was enough fireworks, but it does move quite a bit from one to another. But developments in the courtroom seem to be going Musk direction. Musk is seeking up to $134 billion in alleged wrongful gains. That wouldn't be good for OpenAI's IPO that they plan on doing this year. He's also called for the removal of Sam Altman and Greg Brockman from their roles. So that's a battle of the giants there. That's not David against Goliath. That's Goliath against Goliath. We don't know who will win that one. Imagine the money. You know what? I'd like to be the lawyers. They're the ones who will make all the money.
They're always going to get something, right?
Yeah, win and lose or drop. Somebody's going to win, I would think, or it gets tossed. It doesn't seem like it's going to get tossed because it's underway. The trial is underway.
Yeah, I mean, Taiwan. They had a jury and everything and had opening argument.
Yes, we've seen some selling in ARM the last 2 days, and this is costing me an arm and almost a leg. Taiwan managed semiconductor exited their position in ARM holding. Sometimes there's things underneath, see, that you don't know what until after it's disclosed. They made a $231 million share sale, fully exiting its holding in the UK-based chip designer. They sold 1.1 million shares the last 2 days. And did you see the big sell-off in ARM after that? They picked, you know, they know when to hit it. It was hitting a new high. It blasted off.
And that might be why they sold it, I mean.
Well, sure. So. Not time to get out, especially when you have that size of a position. You got to get out while the getting's good and while, you know, the fire is hot. So there's plenty of liquidity to get out of there. Okay, Seagate. Let's talk about Seagate.
Gee, I was just looking at it right now while you were.
So, man. And as I said, I want to say that we met with people when we were in the Silicon Valley that work for Seagate.
Yeah, Seagate's, we had somebody, or maybe somebody who used to work for Seagate. Yeah, it was one or the other, because I remember we talked about it for a while.
Seagate,
we were talking about
think,
that.
Yeah.
We were talking about memory coming, you know, that coming back in terms of you know, back to prominence. So.
It amazes me. Seagate was around when I got in the business. They're making disk drives. Disk drives, the old disk drives that held about 40 megabytes in your computer. Over the last 10 years, an investment in Seagate has delivered 42% per year with no guarantees going forward. The S&P is 24% per year. But guess what? It's accelerating. Over the last 5 years, Seagate has delivered to investors 48% per year, while the market is 14.1%. And over the last 3 years, Seagate has delivered, get this, 122% per year. The market's averaged 24, but wait, over the last 12 months, Seagate is up 610%. That's sevenfold in the last 12 months versus 29.2 for the S&P 500. Okay, so that's looking in the past. It obviously gets a performance grade of A+. This is one of the top performing stocks in the entire market. And, of course, we look backwards with the track record. We look forward with the valuation, which we're going to do right now. The valuation on Seagate, which is basically taking the earnings estimate for next year, extrapolating them out over the next 5 years at a growth rate, and then applying a multiple that and coming up with a five-year target price, which right now I have 579. This was as of yesterday's close. That gave it 92.6% upside potential as of yesterday. Some of that's disappearing here today. And as of yesterday, Seagate was ranked number 23 overall out of 5,214. And it's a strong buy. So it sounds like we got another article to write up on Seagate here soon. We've got several in the hopper right now that I need to put the finishing touches on as soon as the market slows down just a little bit. But Seagate is your stock of the day, and we own it in our ultra growth portfolio. The size of Seagate, you could probably own that in the premier growth portfolio too, because the size of Seagate right now is clear up to $126 billion. And I would say the premier growth is $100 billion and up, somewhere in there. So I wish we owned it in both. But Seagate, what a chart on Seagate when you look at over the last couple of years here, just exploding, just absolutely exploding to the upside. They're in Fremont, California on Cato Road. Next time we'll have to check it out, drive by the Seagate plant. But definitely the stock of the day here so far today. Okay, the next story. There's some soggy stocks out there today. It's always fun to compare the best stocks now with what I consider to be the soggy stocks now. Stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear trying to hang on, trying to white-knuckle it with their single-digit growth. Most of them don't do very well. Now, one that we backed out of quite some time ago, I want to say we did pretty well with Robinhood. We made a very big profit, and I do know for fact that we met with somebody that worked for Robinhood.
In compliance. At Robinhood, yeah.
And he said their compliance department had 100 compliance officers.
Oh, they had a lot of, they got their hands full there.
Oh, man.
Lots of accounts.
A lot of accounts there, and a lot of them are like $12.
Yeah, and a lot of activity. Yeah, you know. So.
A lot of paperwork to keep track of, and a lot of T's to cross, and a lot of I's to dot. Robinhood, I want to say, I don't like the financials at all right now. Robinhood is down, let's see, last time I looked, it's down 30. That's a terrible chart. We sold it at, let's see, one. I can't read that.
I'm trying to find it.
There it is. We sold it, at around 135, and now it's 71. That's why you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, says the old song by Kenny Rogers, and I think it was the first edition.
The Gambler, yeah.
You got to know when to hold them. We sold half at 131.84. It's now been cut in half since then, and I want to say we took a very large profit in Robinhood. It's all about earnings, 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 and more earnings as we're in earnings season. There's a couple others here that catch my eye. This Bloom Energy's been a strong stock. It's all about data centers. It's all about powering data centers. I thought they were mostly a solar stock, but I guess not. It's up 24% today. BE, Bloom Energy, on stronger than expected earnings. Data center, it seems to be the center of the market, center of the universe still.
Yeah, and they had a big deal announcement. What I think it was about maybe 2-3 weeks ago now. I think it was either
with Meta or one of those.
Yep. And so they're gonna, you know, they're part of that ecosystem that you mentioned in terms of driving the gold rush of today.
Okay, there's another one that's on the periphery here, Amphenol. Not Tylenol, Amphenol. They're having a good day. Amphenol is a chip stock. They design chips. Amphenol is up 6.6%. They design, manufacture, and market electrical, electronic, and fiber optic. That's a big key word in all this data center stuff. Connectors, coaxial, and flat ribbon. They've been around a long time, Amphenol, by the way. Cable and interconnect systems. And it's up 6.7% today. Now we get to the soggy side of the street. Can you hear the boots crossing a muddy, soggy street getting to the other side? Let's
sound better.
Yesterday it was Kimberly Clark. I looked at the results. I looked at the Kimberly Clark over the last 10 years has returned nothing. Nothing at all but soggy diapers. That's it. Who wants soggy diapers in their Roth IRA? Not me. And that was the funny one of the day for me yesterday. And there was another one, too, that reported yesterday that's just done nothing. Oh, who was it? And I looked at the upside potential, and it was like 35%. I go, oh.
I know Coca-Cola reported, but I think they actually had a decent report. I think they had a decent report, though. I know they had a 6% pop at one point yesterday, but.
Yeah, there was another really classic soggy stock that reported yesterday. Okay. Starbucks actually has a decent report today. That stock is up 8.3%. I know they're really going after Dutch Bros with the afternoon energy drinks. That seems to be what everybody's got energy drinks. Taco Bell. Come into Taco Bell. Drink your energy drink along with our lousy burritos. I see Sonic. Sonic has energy drinks. I don't know. Is it counterproductive after a while? The more energy drinks you drink, the less energy you have?
I just don't know if a burger and fries goes with my energy drink. Guess you got to eat the burgers and fries first, because if you drink the energy drink first, it's gonna kill your appetite.
And the burger and fries kills your energy. You can't win that combination right there. Okay, let's take a look at Starbucks over the years. It's not the stock it used to be. Come on. It's been a really bad one. Let's see. We go to the Best Stocks Now app, Starbucks, right there, SBUX. And, of course, the founder's long gone. Howard, he ran for president and everything, didn't go very far. SBUX, over the last 10 years, has delivered to investors 7.8% per year. The market has delivered 24% per year. Oh, it's a big laggard. I see soggy sneakers walking into that Starbucks to get that mocha latte. Over the last 5 years, it's negative return, negative 1% a year. You know, that's just what happens when a market gets saturated with Starbucks stores. And you can say that about Coca-Cola, you can say that about Home Depot, you can say that about Lowe's, you can say that about McDonald's, Wendy's, and on and on and on and on. Saturation is good as you're saturating, but when you get saturated, then you become soggy. Saturation leads to soggy. Saturation of mud in the boots leads to soggy. You track them in, and your mother gets very mad tracking in soggy stuff on her carpet. I did that one time. I've done that a few times in my life. Out lobster fishing, you get a little muddy and come in at the middle. Lobsters are nocturnal. We used to trap them in San Diego Bay in the middle of the night. One time, I dropped the trap. And these traps are not cheap. They're like 50, 70 bucks or something. And then you tie a buoy to it. And it's the middle of the night. It's dark out there. We were by Ballast Point, the submarine base. And here comes an ocean cruiser leaving on a cruise, ran right over my lobster trap. I think it ended up in Hawaii. $70 down the drain, wrapped up in the... I'll bet, you know, the people on the cruise ship go, ooh, what was that? We just felt a little jerk. Oh, it was Bill Gunderson's lobster trap wrapped in the prop. Oh, well. But it was fun. You know, we had nights where we came home with 15, 20 bugs. You call them bugs. And you boil them alive. They're not as vicious as those blue crabs out here.
Nah,
lobsters flip. They flip their tail really fast. That's kind of their only defense. And everything is a predator to a lobster, including Bill Gunderson. Seals are major predators. Eels, major predators to lobsters. Why? Because of that delectable white meat dipped in butter.
Tilefish, they like to eat the lobster. That's why they taste so good.
That's why they cost so much. Okay, we're out of time. Once again, Minnetonka, Minnesota, Marriott. You thought 3M was Minnesota manufacturing and what is it? Manufacturing, mining and manufacturing. No, it's the Minnetonka, Minnesota Marriott, where Bill Gunderson will be with his team on Tuesday, May the 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yeah, May 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Okay, appointments all day, all 3 days. I figured as long as I'm going there, I may as well lay it all on the line. And then I teach a workshop Tuesday night. That's a long day for me, but I love it. I start the day with a radio show in the morning. We're going to have some fun in Minnetonka, and I hope to see you there. To reserve a spot, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go to our website, get the free newsletter, the live alerts, all that at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.